What hope does mankind have apart from God? That will be part of today's lesson from Isaiah, and we'll learn more about this perspective today on Chapter and Verse with Mike McIntosh.
Woe can be a term that means you're completely lost and there's no hope and no way out of the predicament or the situation you're in. It's interesting that that term, though, in modern English is showing up more and more on talk shows, on the radio and television, and in newscasts. It seems like there's no way out.
And I'll stand up and shout, and I'll praise you, Lord Jesus, and I'll stand up and sing, and I'll thank you, Lord Jesus.
As we continue our series through the book of Isaiah, our teacher Mike McIntosh will present part two of the message, Woe Unto Them. In 1 Corinthians 2:14, we're told, But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can we know them, because they are spiritually discerned. To the world and those who have not been born again by the Spirit of God, the stories from the Bible are just that, stories. The world teaches us to go for it, get all you can, step on whomever in order to make it to the top. But Scripture tells us, no, humble yourself, and in due time you will be exalted. Now let's look to the book of Isaiah, where we'll resume our teaching about the coming judgment of a Christ-rejecting world. Here's Pastor Mike.
They call evil good and they call good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Everything's turned around so it's confused. And that which is bad is being acceptable and actually being produced by producers so it can be sold. And that which is dark is being spun as light. And that which is really bitter is being told it's sweet. There's nothing more bitter than having LSD rip your brain cells and to kill them forever in just one hit, or psilocybin or mescaline or cocaine or methamphetamine, that it's okay, so kids are saying it's okay. Or like in upscale Carmel Valley, the biggest crimes that are going on in that area is the burglaries are happening because kids are strung out by the hundreds, if not thousands, with oxycodone, or whatever, which one of the oxys it is. The bagfuls of it coming from Tijuana. And they're stealing out of one another's parents' medicine cabinets. So you're being told that this is good when it's really bad. And movie starlets and MTV starlets and stars are saying it's okay to have this promiscuous lifestyle when it's not. So bitter things that are really bitter to your soul that are going to hurt you are being sold as sweet. And darkness is being sold as light. And Wicca and witchcraft and the occult satanic worship worshiping is exploding around the country right now. And people are being told that's all okay. Tarot cards, Ouija boards, palm reading, seances. It's all being sold as if this is really good when we're told that in the olden days, at the time of Moses, God told him, you tell my people that you'll be stoned to death for committing these acts. Why? Because ultimately, I am responsible for my actions to you because you and I are of the same country and we are not so diverse that we don't affect each other. We do affect each other. And so if I lose my character, and I infect two or three other people to lose their character, and then they each affect five other people to lose their character, we have a disease going on worse than AIDS. But then when billions of dollars are invested to sell loss of virginity and loss of character, we've got a country that's gone. Now, God is not slack concerning promises, the Bible says, as some men count slackness. So this attitude is, look, we're getting away with it, and there's no God, or he would have come to us and judged us right away. But I am sorry to see that people are not putting two to two together. that we have endorsed filthy, vile things, and the city, county, state governments of the 50 states of America are all imploding on one another, and they don't see it as judgment. The banking system going down. The whole system of the family down. The business down. And they don't see that as we've now reaped what we've been sowing to for the last 10 years, 20 years. That we said, God, we don't want you. And he just stepped back, and now it's the domino effect. Things are accelerating. You can just see it. You all see it, and you all feel it. It's accelerating. Things are moving way too fast. And it's what happens when you watch the death of a nation. So you and I can seek the Lord, and we can beg his mercy, and God will hear us. And there are people crying out tonight for his mercy on our country. And we need to really seek him on this. Woe unto them that call evil good. Oh, that person is going to be judged. This is okay. Woe unto them, the third one, that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. Woe against those who endorse the things that are sinful. And the third one is woe against those that are always right and intolerant of others' thinking. You know, you have a right to an opinion. You have the right to an opinion on any given subject. That's the wonderful thing of freedom of speech. Freedom of speech wasn't put into our Constitution because you might be saying nice things and speaking positive things that the government or anybody else would want, but you would have the freedom to say anything you want. But is it not interesting that those that came up with the word intolerant or tolerance are the ones that are most intolerant and have the least tolerance? But it's only called an opinion, that you have the right to an opinion. So God is saying there's a mindset going on in Isaiah that people are so sold out on their sin that those people need to realize, woe against you that are wise in your own eyes, that you think you've got all the answers and you're prudent in your own sight, and if everybody else doesn't believe, you'll just make it miserable for them. You'll make it miserable for other people so that you can have your way. Your will is so strong. The fourth woe is against alcoholics and alcoholism. Woe unto them that are mighty to drink wine, and men of strength who are still healthy and young guys to mingle strong drink, the whiskey, the vodka. And there's always some little flash somewhere that what's cool is to go to Cancun or to go to some place and just put a little hose down your mouth and let them pour as much booze. That's stupid. You can die from that. Not to mention have a horrible hangover the next day. But it's just stupid what we sell and what we promote. So the four woes. Woe against those that parade their sin and are proud of it. Number one. Woe against those that parade their sin and they're proud of it. They're not ashamed that anybody knows what they're doing. Number two. Woe against those which endorse that which is sinful. That's the person that says, okay, I'm going to be with this person for whatever reason. And you know at one time, but I've watched it for many years in our city alone, that people that wouldn't have ever thought this way, their whole mind has been changed and they're endorsing things that are sinful. But I try to talk to them and say, but you know, when we first met 15, 20 years ago, down at the public library or wherever it was, man, you understood right from wrong, and now you're just into it. I don't understand. Number three, woe against those that are always right in their own eyes, and they're intolerant of other people's thinking. Number four, woe against the raging alcoholic and the young man that is wasting his time and his energy into drink. You can't read these four statements, these four woes, without thinking of the woes in the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation, can you? Talking about a time when things are going to be so horrible on this planet. That's why what's going on right now is nothing. It is literally nothing. I want you to turn to the 8th chapter, if you would, please, in the book of Revelation. Turn to the 8th chapter of the book of Revelation. Very last book in the Bible, if you're new to it. And just follow along here. There are these seals on a scroll. And the Lord Jesus is in heaven, and John is in heaven. And he sees a group of people that are singing out to the Lord in the fourth and fifth chapters that are worshiping God. And they say, we have been redeemed from every tribe, every kindred, and every tongue by the blood of the Lamb. Now these are not angels, because Jesus didn't die on the cross for angels. This has to be the church, the body of Christ. Because we are the only ones that have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ, because God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. And that we are from all the nations, and we would be in heaven singing. Now, if you take it in chronological order, and you realize that John goes up and says, and these are the things hereafter, or the things after this, is the Greek word metatauta. And metatauta, when it's translated into English, it says hereafter, or the things following. It literally means in a sequence of events, this is what's coming next. So if we're turned to chapter 8, and chapter 4 and 5 have already happened, and the people from all over the world are up there worshiping, who are these people that are on the earth when this is happening, this horrible woe stuff? It has to be possibly some of us in this room, or people you live with or love, or other people that you pass every day on the freeway you don't even think about. That there are going to be people that are going to disappear on this planet. For the Lord Himself is going to descend from heaven with the shout of the archangel, the sound of the trumpet, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And those of us that are alive and remain shall be caught up in the air, always to be together with them. Therefore, comfort one another with these words, Paul told the Thessalonians. There is a time when we are going to be grabbed away, snatched away. It will be taken up into heaven. And the word that is used there, that we hear the word rapture, it literally means to grab by the collar and to lift straight up. Just a yank and a jerk. Really strong person. Just poof. But you're going to be walking to school, going to your class, driving on the freeway. You're going to be doing something. And in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, boom, you're going to be grabbed up off the earth. And everybody that has not received the Lord, that is still alive, will still get a chance to receive the Lord. But literally all hell is going to break loose and things are going to fall apart. So when we get to the 8th chapter of Revelation and the 9th chapter, these seals have already been opened and there is something way... You want to talk about global warming? If Al Gore wants to talk about global warming, turn to the book of Revelation and turn to Peter, that says this whole earth is going to be taken away in fire, and the very elements, the atomic structure that makes this physical world, shall melt down. So it's going to be horrible. I mean, hailstones falling from the heavens that weigh somewhere between 100 to 200 pounds. Now imagine bowling balls that weigh, are there any bowlers here? What's a bowling ball weigh? 15 pounds, about the weight of your head. I think your head weighs 16. So if we could just borrow your eyes and your nose, we'll just take you on down to the lanes right now. Now think of this for a moment. That's a pretty good size hailstone, size of a bowling ball. But you make it 100 to 200 pounds. That's enormous in size. But it's called a hailstone, not a hail mountain or a Hail Mary or a hail, you know, boulder. It's a hailstone. Now think of this just for a moment. If we were sitting here right now in this old auditorium, what is this, 45, 50 years old, and all of a sudden this started happening, this building probably in 25 minutes or 30 minutes would be decimated and completely gone because of the destructive power of something that big, like a bowling ball, cannonball, weighing that much, coming all over the sky and dropping in, the ceiling would be gone, we would be out of here. Now you say, that's just too much to handle. But how do you get a snowball or a hailstone? Do you get it in tropical weather or when it's cold and damp and freezing? Cold and damp and freezing. So how cold would it have to be for the inhabitants of this planet to be able to produce hailstones 100 to 200 pounds? It's pretty cold to keep that much solid together. That's amazing when you think of it. So it's going to be a really rough time that's coming. And you get into the 8th chapter and it tells us that the 7th seal is opened. And for many years, I say this every time we teach the Revelation, I must say it again, because you never can tell if I'll ever be old enough to come back this way again to Revelation, but for years I've always heard that this one verse proves that there are no women in heaven, And I do not accept that as true. Because it says, when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about the space... about the space of a half hour. Maybe he'll take all the guys first or something. I don't know. So you don't have to believe that, ladies. You know, we're told that when Muhammad went to hell and looked into hell, that he said that 96% of the people in hell were women. And the women were only born with half of a brain. And you just look at how Jesus comes along and on the cross with his mother, he says, "Woman, behold your son." And to John, he says, "You'll take her." How he honored her. And how he honored Mary and Martha just going to their house at the death of their brother. And how he honored the woman that was caught in the very act of adultery. His words to her were, "Woman, where are your accusers?" He looked her right in the eye. He poured his heart out to this poor woman that had used her body to get her through life and been manipulated and abused and confused and misused by men ever since she came of age. And he respects her. And you think of Mary Magdalene, who had the demons cast out of her, that she's spotlighted, just like we're watching a Christmas play and the spotlight goes in on Charlie Brown. And there she is, at his feet, washing his feet with the tears that are pouring out of her eyes and wiping with her hair. Just think how long her hair would be, but how much she was sobbing to get that much water from the tears out to his feet. He honored women all through the scriptures. You know, it even says about the women, more so than the guys, that there were, and he names the women in the New Testament, I believe it's Mark, and he names the women that followed after Jesus with the disciples and people that were usually around him, and it said, and they did give of their substance. Otherwise, they tithed with their own money. And the first convert in Europe is a woman, a businesswoman named Lydia. She was a seller of purple. And when St. Paul had a vision one night, a man from Macedonia said, "Come over here and help us." He went. But he did never find a man. And on the Sabbath day, it says that Paul asked where they could pray. And not sure there'd be any synagogues anywhere in this part of the world. Well, somebody said there's a prayer meeting usually on this day that's down by the riverbank. Go on down there. And then I'm sure that Paul was thinking from the male perspective, he's going to find some Jewish men praying. Instead, it's a businesswoman with her household, meaning all the people that worked with her and her own family, and they're praying. And Paul sits down and expounds the scriptures to this crowd of people. And the first thing this woman says, "What holds us back from getting baptized?" And he says, "Nothing." And right there, the scriptures are open for the New Testament that women have an esteemed place in the kingdom of God and in the world. And we need to really pray for our friends that don't look at women in the same way. Now, there's two ways to look at women, I think, that in the worldview, not in my view, but I think in the worldview. Well, there's three ways. Number one, you could say that they aren't worth anything, and so they need to cover themselves and keep out of the way of life, and they're good for men to blow themselves up and get 72 virgins. And you can definitely see that that's really a myopic way of thinking. It's a man's thing. Number two, you could look at it that way. Number two, you could look at it and say they're nothing good but for the pornographing of the world that we see. Pornography, it's everywhere. It's in children's movies and one of the video games that's out for playing the guitar has a pole dancer in the background that just subtly is there. But why does a 7 or 8 year old boy need to see a pole dancer? You know, it's just so subtle. It's in, if you look you can see some whiskey ads, for instance, the naked ladies that are airbrushed into the ice cubes and the subtlety of the pornography. So you got the choice that a woman is nothing or the woman is only a sex toy. Or you've got the third point of view that women are to be esteemed as the Lord Jesus esteemed them. And that is, the devil has come along and said, okay, there may be some jerky guys that esteem women and open doors for them and help them out. And Paul the Apostle said, the woman is the weaker vessel. Men were made with a different physique. But the devil comes along and says, let's split and let's give liberation to women. and now let's break them away from man. And that was the problem from the very first sin. Eve was off on her own, not under the covering of Adam, and the devil seduced her. And the weakness of Adam was that he didn't rebuke the devil. It took God to rebuke the devil. And that Adam shouldn't have ever let his wife get out of his sight and go over there and talk to that serpent. So the weakness of man and women are both there. But the women have a role and the men have a role. So I lean to take the third and to esteem women. I love my wife. I do not feel superior to her, nor do I feel inferior to her. I love my daughters. I mean, there isn't anything they can talk me out of or into that I wouldn't do for them. I love my granddaughters. There's a way to look at women, and the world has either said they're religiously not of any value, or they are physically, emotionally, and spiritually just a toy. And if you get tired of them, you divorce them and get yourself another toy. But if you can't divorce them because you'd lose too much money or part of your business, you just go on the internet and you make up any story about a woman you want. Or you could say, no, we're made equal in the eyes of God. Because the Bible says there's neither male nor female, Jew nor Greek, rich or poor, free or bond slave in the kingdom of heaven, but we're all one in Christ. And so we need to love each other and respect each other. And our appetites should never dictate to us, because if we let our appetites dictate to us, eternity is already spelled out. But if we die to ourselves and pick up our cross and follow him daily, then we're going to make it in. Many go on the broad road to destruction, but very few, the Lord Jesus Christ said, find that narrow path with the straight gate that leads to eternal life. So chapter 8 says, silence in heaven, I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. And another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense. Now we've got musical instruments, and we've got the incense. That he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. So when we pray, and finish this evening, and as they're praying at the Korean Methodist Church and in other places all over the world right now, there's music in the background, and the angels, we're told early in Revelation, present our prayers with golden vials, which means a broad, deep bowl of gold. And he's taken them up out of San Diego. He's taken them out of this meeting. An angel just goes and says, Lord, here's what just came out of Mount Aliphant. Can any good thing come out of Mount Aliphant Drive? Yeah, here, look at these prayers that just came. And there's music in the background with your prayers. But many times our prayers, oh God, help me. Oh God, this is too rough. Oh God. But to the Lord, it's beautiful that you're communicating. And that takes music and sweet fragrance. And the smoke of the incense, which came with the prayers of the saints, ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. And the angel took the censer and he filled it with fire from off the altar. He cast it into the earth. And there was voices and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake. And the seven angels which had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. All of this is going on, and the guys are... I used to play the trumpet in grade school to my freshman year in high school. And then one day I was walking down the hall with my big old trumpet case, and I saw the cute girls, and I realized, cute girls and big trumpet cases, I can't be walking down the hall with this thing. You know, get rid of that. And I'll get the guitar. But they're getting ready. And you had to, those of you who play the tuba or something, you know this. I know many of you do play the tuba. You sit at home and just practice all the time. Papa. But you have to get your lip ready. So you're always wetting it and you're getting it ready. And it has to be strong so you can get the sound of the notes out. But it says they're just getting ready when the earth is falling apart. So the seven trumpets, angels which had the seven trumpets, prepared. They got ready themselves to sound. The first angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire, mingled with blood, and they were cast upon the earth. And the third part of the trees was burnt up, and all the green grass was burnt up. All the green grass. And a third of all the trees on the planet. Now, I've been twice in the last 12 months up into Central California to speak. And both times, well, one of them I was up at Hume Lake recently and speaking at a law enforcement conference. And the other was last spring, beginning of the summer. And we went to see General Sherman and the big trees that are up there, you know, up above Fresno. And they're beautiful. They're just gorgeous.
That point from Mike will end our time of teaching today on chapter and verse in the book of Isaiah. Next time, we'll continue our look at the Lord's pending judgment through this prophet and our message, Woe Unto Them. If you use the internet to find in-depth Bible study resources, you'll want to mark MikeMacintosh.com, because that's where you can find information about Mike's audio teachings that are available in the sermon area under the teaching link. Click onto this site and you'll find a full selection of teachings through the Bible by Pastor Mike. The address again is MikeMacintosh.com. Thanks for joining us today on CMV. We'll continue in the book of Isaiah on our next broadcast with Mike Macintosh here on CMV Radio. Chapter and Verse is presented by Horizon International Ministries.
And I'll stand up and shout.